This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Yes, indeed. Hello, everybody. Good morning. It is a Friday, and Michael Bloomberg is here in Studio 4. Good morning, sir.
Chilly outside, John.
Yeah, it's real cold. So what happens in December?
Who knows? Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's going to be even colder Monday night, Tuesday. Uh-oh. New Year's Eve, you will
last
be
year was warm, as I remember. Yes. One year it was so cold, I think Mark Lavagna was there with earmuffs, and I grabbed them and ripped them off. I said,
nice,
you go
guy.
Inside there. Nice. I've got to stand out here and do some television. I thought I was
going to
die.
So you're going to be doing the usual routine?
Usual routine. Last year we had Lady Gaga help us drop the ball. This year, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. The Rockettes.
You and the Rockettes.
Absolutely. It's their 85th anniversary.
Will you be kicking in the line?
I put my foot way up in the air. It was sort of embarrassed them, but we're all sort of
I did that years
same.
Ago.
I remember as a
stuff.
Kid, Barbara Parkhurst, girl living next door. This is maybe I was probably 8 years old, like 1950. She went off to New York to be a Rockette.
Mm-hmm.
The people that live next door are long since lost in history. But they perform each year. They do more than 200 shows at Radio City Music Hall, so they're a big part of the reason people come to New York City. Their Christmas spectacular has just been unbelievable over the years. And, you know, in the past years, we've had Hillary and Bill Clinton and the Medal of Honor recipient Sal Giunta. And the last year, as I said, Gaga, and we had Colin Powell. And I've always gone for a few drinks afterwards with whoever drops the ball, although I don't think Gaga did this. She had to go off and do some other entertainment. But can I take all the Rockettes? I don't know how many.
Absolutely. You're the mayor. Do anything you want.
I can, the bar I go to is going to, Jimmy Neary's going to be thrilled with the whole, his daughters might not be, but he'll be.
That's funny. We'll have fun. We will all be collectively watching.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful time, and people around the world see New York in its best, and you know it is so safe, and we just don't allow you can't bring booze. Just do not
if you're
bring
gonna
any,
be there, you have to be there early.
Have to be there early. You'll not get through that. We look in backpacks and that sort of thing, and that stopped all the craziness. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not snowing too much, this thing is always a lot of fun. Even when it's snowing, you know, the confetti and gets mixed with the snowflakes, gets mixed with the fireworks.
New York fun and games.
Yeah, it's always nice to be out there. This will be my 12th, I think, because I was there for the beginning of my term, got sworn in, and next year I will be there, I assume, with whoever is elected to follow me, and I'll be up on the stage with the two
How
of them.
How do you feel about the last year?
You know, somebody once said a great vacation is you had a wonderful time and happy to get home. I will miss this next year. This has been a wonderful job. I have nothing but good things to say. You know, the days where you're frustrated, you just want to pound your fist through the wall, into a lamppost. But no, this is the greatest job in the world. You have a chance to make a difference in, you know, life expectancy and low crime and better schools and all these things we've been doing. It's just been a wonderful opportunity. I had a dinner last night with 25 people who work for Cass Holloway and the operations who worked on Hurricane Sandy. They're running this project where we get a plumber, carpenter, electrician to come in and FEMA pays to get you back going and making progress. There's still an enormous amount of things, places to go, but we're making progress, getting ready for the next flood, the next hurricane. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but doing all that. And it was just looked around the table. You know, they're all, to say they're young compared to me is I could be their grandfathers in most cases, but people dedicating their lives, and it just gave me, I remember thinking last night, you know, what a city so wonderful, lucky to have these people.
That's great. Are you concerned that the final year will be one of those, you know, final years where things are more difficult to do? Because
no. There's always somebody wants to slow things down, they go to court. But the public suffers, and hopefully the judges are smart enough to not let that happen too much. There's a lot of things. I think we did more in the fourth year of the first term, fourth year of the second term, than we did in the years before. And we're going to do more in the fourth year of this last 3 years, last 4 years.
A story in the paper this morning about the unions not having contracts and retroactive pay. I know that you and I have spoken about that before.
Yeah, I mean, the unions, the municipal employees have worked very hard over the last years, and they've gotten paid. And I don't think there are very many city council people who are willing to go back and say to their constituents, I want to raise taxes to give people higher raises. When I came into office, a lot of our people were underpaid compared to the private sector and to other municipalities around. We fixed that. That is no longer the case. There are virtually no towns around us or across the country where people are getting raises. The public just says enough is enough. They don't want to spend any more. My job is to try to protect the people who are working for the city now and making sure that we pay them as well as we can. But nobody, as there was some study done, you're going to have to pay retroactive raises. I don't know anybody in the private sector that gets retroactive raises. And the fact of the matter is there's nothing in the cards. That's not going to happen. The public would never be willing to dramatically raise their property taxes. As it is, the federal government with going off the cliff. Property taxes are going up. And even if they don't, even if they solve the cliff problem, they're going to find other ways to raise monies. You know, when they cut versus a budget. They don't cut absolute. They're still going. Things are still, people want more services. They scream and yell and say, no, no, no. But then they somebody the other day, I saw a thing, take your dirty government hands off my Medicare. It's that kind of stuff.
But then, as you say, then they complain about the taxes that go.
Yeah, I mean, we are, the teachers' union is going to cost us a lot of money. I think it looks like they've said they don't want to negotiate. The governor got a bill passed in Albany to come up with an evaluation system. The problem is it was essentially, and the governor worked hard on this and deserves a lot of credit for it, but it was the same bill as we had before that Shelley Silver had passed. You have to have the unions agree. The union's only going to agree if they get paid more. The public's not going to get paid more. Our real problem is evaluating, making sure the best teachers are in front of the classroom. If some of them aren't up to snuff, which you can really measure by testing and seeing how well the kids do, that's the only rational way is to measure. That's the way you get measured, the way I get measured. And you look and you see those who aren't doing the job. You try to give them help, and if they can't, then you move them out. They don't. Nobody has a right to ruin our kids' lives. They have a right to work, and as long as they do a good job. That's true of everybody in the private sector and the public sector. And the head of the teachers' union just cavalierly said, we're not going to negotiate anything, which says that the bill that the governor had gotten passed now has to be modified because you will not get evaluations. And if New York City loses $280 or $250, whatever the number is, $1 million, that's a lot of kids that are going to get hurt. And the governor and I don't have
teachers that won't get raises either. I'm not suggesting that one is tied to the other.
The teachers get raises about 3% every single year on average. Just the one group. Don't sit there and say the teachers don't get raises. Firefighters, cops, that sort of thing may not after the first half a dozen years. But teachers for 20 years get raises of an average of 3%, I think it is, every single year. So for them to sit there and say we're not getting any raises is ridiculous. It's an outrage. And, the teachers union just cavalierly walks away. And there's no question what was said to our people, directly staff, directly to the chancellor, and a letter. We aren't going to negotiate unless we want to talk about other things. That's not what the governor's bill called for, and I'm sure the governor's going to stand up there and say this is just unacceptable. So we'll have to find out ways to do it.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight here. Let me take a break. 18 after 8 o'clock. The mayor's got a breakfast this morning, so he'll be with us in a shortened capacity, but we'll get right back to it. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the Friday John Gambling Show. Story this morning, Shelley Silver is going to introduce a bill, or did introduce a bill yesterday, for early voting. What is your view about early voting?
We have it already, and we've always had it, for example, absentee ballots, a form of early voting. When you have soldiers overseas and the mail isn't as fast as you might like it to be, although I don't know, maybe it's even better with the Air Force flying back and forth. I just don't know. But you certainly want to give them time to vote. You know, there's something in, I like the idea that there is a day you got to stop everything and show up. I think it reminds you of just the fact of what being a citizen means. But having said that, Shelley's not the first one to do this. It's been done pretty much across the country.
32 states have early voting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know. You think with more technology,
you'd think it'd be easier.
You'd go in the other direction. We have, except look in New York State. Our voting machines are such a step backwards, and it all came about when some newspaper editorial screamed, oh, you can't trust computers. So now we have these little paper slips which you can put in your pocket, you can manipulate, you can throw away, and people can look over your shoulder, so you have no privacy anymore when you vote. Thanks. We had computers that worked fine, and they said, oh, well, you know, they're not, parts aren't being manufactured anymore. Go to a parts company. They'll make parts. They'll make one part. They'll make 1,000 parts.
You're talking
parts.
About the old machines?
Yeah,
the old mechanicals.
Yeah, and I used to take my daughters in. You close the ring behind you. You help them. They can pull the lever. And we talked about why I'm voting for this person and not for that one or whatever. And then together we pull the lever open, which recorded your vote. You could get the results were right away. Now they're talking about, oh, if there's a runoff, they won't be able to handle it. It takes too long to count. Think about this. We've gone to a brand new set of machines and taken us back decades, maybe a century for all I know, all because somebody said, oh, you can't trust computers, you can hack them. Don't ever drive a car. Don't get in an airplane. Don't get in an elevator. Don't stop at a traffic light. Everything we do is controlled by computers. And yes, there's always a chance of fraud in everything, a lot less in computers than in paper slips, which is exactly what we got.
Unfortunately, another push on the subways. That's I don't think there's no answer here. When you got a crazy,
to say that it's only two and a long period of time doesn't help either person. I don't know what happened here. I was talking to somebody the other day. We used to incarcerate an awful lot of people who were mentally ill. Courts or the law was changed and said, no, you can't do that because unless they're a danger to society, our laws protect you. And that's fair enough. If you look at, you go out Long Island, the number of old psychiatric big hospitals.
All over the state of New York.
And all of them now they're empty and they're falling apart. They're derelict buildings. Just the roofs are starting to cave in. Can become dangerous.
And I read that the governor is thinking of releasing even more people.
Don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. But, it costs a lot. And the trouble is, you may incarcerate the handful of people who do something wrong, but you'd also incarcerate an enormous number of people who will never do anything wrong. And the essence of America is, unless you do something wrong, we don't incarcerate you. If, for example, derelict and when it gets cold, unless it gets below 32 degrees, even if we think it's in your interest to have you inside, if you want to stay on the streets, you have a right to do that.
How do you integrate those thoughts of what you just said with the whole gun question in the wake of Newtown?
Well, there's always going to be crazy people. The first issue is get the guns out of the hands of people who don't have a license where you can do a background check. That's not going to protect everybody every time, but it'll go a long ways. Society's not perfect. You're never going to get 100%. But, assault weapons there was nothing the Founding Fathers ever thought about. Get serious. There's a rifle that the Army has in the front of a tank that fires a nuclear bomb. It's a small nuclear weapon. That was protected by the Second Amendment? I don't think so. Nor were these guns that kill, you just keep pulling the trigger, bang, 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 you can shoot 30 bullets. I was talking to somebody the other day, he's a hunter. And he said, what kind of a hunter goes? He hunts with a shotgun. It has two cartridges in it. And I said, do you ever change? He said, no. I said, this is a sport. Now, I'm not a big hunter. I don't know what kind of sport it is. But to have a machine gun, which is basically what these things are, even if you have to pull a trigger again and again, it's so fast that it might as well be just automatic. There's something really wrong here. And we have more guns than people. We're the only country. What was the joke the other day? How do you define a Canadian? a unarmed North American with a good health care plan. I thought that was very funny.
Okay, your thoughts on the same question as last week on the fiscal cliff mess?
Well, it's an incline, not a cliff. Mm-hmm. Tax policy, they can certainly go back any time in the next year and rewrite the tax code retroactively. So when you say, well, tax is going to go up, yeah, but they don't have to, even if you get past January 1st with nothing done. Alternative minimum tax, AMT, doesn't have to be used. You could change it going retroactively. You can do those kinds of things. And the cuts, the whole idea of sequestered monies, where it be so painful, you would have to address the issue. Yeah, the trouble is it's like a nuclear bomb. It's so effective you can't use it in a practical sense, or if you used it, you'd lose the war regardless if you won the battle. But even those things will take a while to cycle in to be implemented. Those who want to cry doom and gloom say, oh, overnight, but that's not fair. The one thing that I have never liked is this business of picking a point at which we're going to raise taxes on those over that income versus under. That's not what America was built on. We have a graduated income tax, either raise or lower everybody's taxes. You can do it the same percentage. It's already graduated, as I said, and that would be fairer. If people want services, they're going to have to pay for it. Is it a good time to have austerity? No, but it's never a good time to have austerity. We do want to encourage business creation and job creation. I think that if Washington act like a bunch of adults and face the issue, any increase in taxes would be offset by a huge outpouring of confidence by people who would then say, well, you know, adults are running the government. I'm going to buy that new house. I'm going to try that new job. I'm going to create that new business. I'm going to hire more people. And, you know, all these economists that say the world is coming to an end, you know, if we fall off this cliff, it'll create enormous disincentives to do those things. I don't think that they're right. I think they're dead wrong. I don't know anybody that runs a business going to change anything if their tax rate goes up a little bit.
How would you define the confidence level of the people in business at your level?
They're shocked. They're horrendous. If you go back, the big shock of the last 4 years, they watched Dodd-Frank and the health care bill and the debt ceiling all be done by Congress, and they were just petrified. They said, "What? They're not talking about the issues. They're only talking about one for me, one for you, and you protect mine, I'll protect yours." And they just, I don't think they'd ever really focused on it. Because in the past, before this last administration, generally the administrations would send a bill to Congress and then fight for it. But you didn't see the bill actually being written. You saw it being tinkered with to get enough votes, but you didn't see it starting out just saying, we need a bill, you guys go do it. That's not something that no business could survive this way. I mean, the business people, And individuals who say, wait a second, I can't run my personal finances that way. What are you, crazy? I've got to, you know, think about the future. I've got to think about what happens if I lose my job. I've got to have a little bit of money in the bank. You know, some things you have to differentiate between things that are nice to have and things we have to have. And there's no evidence of that. What do I think happens? I'd still bet 25 cents that they come up with a sort of intermediate step or a minor step, a kick the can down the road kind of step to, quote, get us over the cliff. But the cliff was created just for the press, so you'd talk about it as visual. You know, it's great for cartoonists. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe an incline in a picture the way you can describe a cliff. Somebody once said, the apple never falls far from the tree, talking about children of smart people. That's true, but sometimes trees are planted on inclines.
All right, Mr. Mayor, where are you off to? You
Interfaith breakfast. We do it every year, the last Friday in the year. You have no idea how many different religions are practiced in this city, and we've got representatives from every one. If we missed one, it wasn't deliberate. You know, we have there'll be a chorus and half a dozen of the different clergy people will pray in their religion for world peace. And it's nice to see every table is a mixture of every kind of religion. It shows, you know, at this level, people can live together. People don't kill each other. They respect each other. And I think everybody in this room will understand their freedoms are protected by making sure the freedoms of other people in the rooms are protected. And so it's nice. And then a police graduation, another, I don't know, 1,100, 1,200 cops be on the streets helping to bring down crime.
And as far as you know, there'll be more classes? I mean,
sure, because we have to replace as people retire. We have about 35,000 uniformed people down from 40,000, lowest murder rate we've ever had, and lowest number of shootings we've ever had. Press hasn't reported that yet. And the total crime rate, it's up a touch, but if you just took out thefts of Apple products, not Galaxies and Samsungs,
just
Apple products, our total crime rate would be lower than it was last year. Unfortunately, all of a sudden, and that's not saying stealing all the other kind of smartphones and tablets, which is exploding as well. So I don't know how you protect people. Just got to learn to hold on to it. Put it in your pocket where it's...
Yeah, don't walk down the street holding on to it.
Yeah, and don't put it in a pocket where it's easy to take out of your pocket without you noticing it. Put it in a pocket in sort of a more body-fitting, tighter clothes that you could feel if somebody put their hand in your pocket, not just an outside coat pocket. But, you know, it's another great year. NYPD just has done a spectacular job, and it'll be nice to look. And last time we swore in a class, they came from something like 48 different countries. The diversity this time will be very similar to that. From around the world, people want to come work here, be in the world's greatest police department, which is one of the reasons it's so effective, because they understand the culture of the city. A lot of police departments, you go and you look at the police department, has nothing to do from a ethnic, economic, orientation, mix of the people that they serve. Here, it really does match, and that's one of the reasons why people respect the police department, and the police department respects the people. Can't tell you every cop is good, every person in the public acts the right way, but generally speaking, we're very lucky.
All right, Mr. Mayor, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and
enjoy the Rockettes and everything else.
Looking forward to it. You're going to know, did I kiss all the Rockettes? I don't know. We're going to have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, a New Year's kiss. You're absolutely right. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Mayor. We'll see you next Friday.